This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
It's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free. And you're still the refuge that I've just got to get to. And ooh.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Here we are again, and I'm so excited to be with you today. You know, it's a beautiful day. And, you know, there's a lot going on in my life, and I'm sure there's a lot going on in your life. And this show is the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. In case you're just tuning in and you don't know what this show is about, that's what it's about. And it's called The Sue Freeze Show. And it is syndicated. It goes from San Diego up to San Luis Obispo, the same areas that Ecola Termite and Pest Management services. Also, if you hear something on this show, you don't even know what I'm going to talk about yet, but if you hear something on the show that you would like to share, it's okay, because you can go to the podcast. And how do you do that? You go to Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com, and you can get 4 years of podcasts on there. And there, I'll tell you later. You can go on there and you can get it. So stay tuned. Anyway, so what are we going to talk about today? I'm going through a lot. And some of the things that I'm going through go along with what I want to talk about today. And you know, I have a business. It's Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services. I've been in the industry 32 years, and I have owned Ecola for 14 out of the 30 years. We're celebrating 30 years this year. And over the last month, I felt very exposed, vulnerable. And there's one person that is coming in the evening and breaking in and stealing equipment. And so the question is, when you have this, is why? And what are they doing with it? And how are they getting the information to know when to come and what truck to go into? And all those questions come to be. If it's one time and, you know, somebody steals your purse one time, that's one thing. But how about something that is repeated? How about when you have something where you're repeatedly getting, transgressions against you? You know, what about that? You know, the Lord says to rejoice in all things, and here's this thing happening, and I'm like, okay, it's really hard to rejoice right now and be thankful in our circumstances, but it also gives us reason to think about what led up to the situation and, you know, why? Why? That's the big question. Why? And how can I stop it from continuing on? You know, we have those choices in our lives. And when you have control over something, or you have choices that you could do that could protect or do something different, it's very important that we think about it. And not only think about it, but something I always say is, Christians, don't just think about it, do something. Do something about it, right? So we're talking, it's a continuation from previous podcasts, because I'm going through the book of Purpose-Driven Life. And the question for this chapter is, what will you live for? Okay, so here we're going to put things in perspective. I have somebody that is transgressing against me and trespassing on my property and taking things that don't belong to them that I've worked very hard to get. And it's equipment that could be sold from another, maybe pest control company, and that wouldn't be right, but it could happen. Or it could be somebody that's opening up their own pest control company, and instead of going through the school of hard knocks and earning things the right way, they could be trying to find an easy way to get what they need in order to move forward in running a business. But we both know that, you know, when things like that happen, success won't happen. It won't last. You know, there's going to be things that happen in that situation. But we leave that up to God, don't we? But that doesn't mean we just sit back idly and do nothing. And I don't know what your circumstances or situation is, or if you can even relate to me right this minute in time, but there will come a time, or there has been a time, where you can relate to what I'm talking about right now. It could be a personal relationship. It could be a business relationship. It could be anything like that. And so when we think about what we're living for, it changes the attitude a little bit, because we have to think of the big picture. It's kind of when I talk about goals, and you set the goals, and you set the goal far off, and then you work backwards so that you can attain the goal, because you can't happen just by, you know, wiggling your nose or crossing your arms like I Dream of Jeannie. I do that a lot because I think, gosh, I wish I could do that. It'd be so fun if I could just cross my arms and blink a couple times and everything will become all right. But, you know, I'm not a genie and, you know, we can dream and we should dream. So I'm going to move right along, and I digressed a little bit, but it's kind of fun, isn't it? But the situation that I'm going through isn't fun, but I can have an attitude of victim. I can have an attitude of how dare they and poor, poor me. Or I could say, okay, full armor of God, you know, change the fencing, put barbed wire up. Do I get a security guard? Do I, you know, what is it I can do? Because we can think about all the things we can't do, but we should think about what we can do. And so with that being said, I'm taking action. Is it enough? No, because I've been hit 4 times. So obviously I'm not doing things quick enough. I'm not doing enough to remedy the problem. So I'll let you know how this goes going forward. I'm going to meet with a policeman after this, and we're going to discuss options. We're going to, you know, see what we can do. I even have video cameras. I have the guy on video camera. Can you believe it? I have him on camera. I have his face. He looked right at the camera. And if it's you and you're listening, shame on you. Anyway, what do we and what will you live for? I'm going out of the book, Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, which is one of the most popular books ever written and sold. So if it's that popular, there must be something in it. At least that's the way I look at it. And I have gone through this thing, and it's not something you breeze through quickly. Even Rick Warren, in the very beginning, he'll tell you this is something that you digest over time. And even once you've gone through the book, you can go back and digest again and again and again. Just like the Bible. The Bible's the same way. You know, we're at different stages in our lives at any given time. And so a scripture that you read over because it doesn't hit anywhere, you go back, you know, even a month, maybe a year later, and you read that same scripture, and all of a sudden it has new meaning. Do you know what I'm talking about? I know for me, there's scriptures that just pop out of the page depending on where I am in my walk and what's going on circumstantially in my life. So here we go. Living the rest of your life for the glory of God will require a change in your priorities, your schedule, your relationships, and everything else. It will sometimes mean choosing a difficult path instead of an easy one. You know, not everything in life is easy. Even Jesus struggled with this. Knowing he would be crucified, he cried out, "Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father? Save me from this hour. But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name." Jesus stood at a fork in the road. Would he fulfill his purpose and bring glory to God, or would he shrink back and live a comfortable, self-centered life? We all face the same choice almost every minute of every day. Will you live for your own goals, comfort, and pleasure, or will you live the rest of your life for God's glory? Knowing that he has promised eternal rewards. The Bible says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. It's time to settle this issue. Who are you going to live for? I'm pausing so you can think about it for a minute. Some of you don't need to think. You've already made the decision. And some of you might be on the fence, and some of you might be on the other side of the fence. Wherever you are, think about it. And as we go down this road, this journey called life, things are going to happen, and we have a choice on how we're going to address it. And a lot of the times, because we've thought about this already, who we're living for and what our ministry is or what our purpose is here on this earth, it can change the way you respond. So who are you going to live for? Are you going to live for yourself, or are you going to live for God? You may hesitate, wondering whether you will have strength to live for God. Don't worry. God will give you what you need. If you will just make the choice to live for him, you just need to make the decision. He'll help you do the rest. You just need to make the decision. The Bible says his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. That's in 2 Peter 1:3 in the NIV version, which is my favorite version of the Bible. You know, in that, he will give us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory. There's so much in that one line, isn't there? He's going to give us the power we need. We just need to make the decision. The same thing applies if you have unforgiveness in your heart. You just need to make the decision to forgive. And then he helps you and strengthens you and gives you that forgiveness in your heart. It's a decision you make first from your head. It's a decision you make in your head. It's a choice you make in your head. And then it goes from your head and it just travels down to your heart. And when it travels to your heart, it changes you. And then the second part is the knowledge of Him. Well, how do we get that knowledge? How you get the knowledge is by getting into His Word. Where is His Word? His Word is in the Bible. There's a lot of Bibles out there, Sue. Which Bible do I use? You're right. There are a lot of Bibles out there. And the stories are very similar. The wording might be a little different. I mean, if you're not used to thous and those, and you'd rather have thus, then, you know, NIV might be the right, or a Living Bible. You know, there's different choices out there in Christian Bibles. You just need to choose the one that, you know, relates to you the best. Just understand that. Okay? So right now, God is inviting you to live for His glory by fulfilling the purpose He made for you. And you realize that He did do that, don't you? You realize that He created you for a purpose. He knew every word, every hair, while you were in your mother's womb. Isn't that amazing to think that you were that special? That He created you. Yes, you. Isn't that amazing to think about? When I think about that, it just warms me all over. Because it's so nice to know that I was that special. And I was that special that He died for me. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. If you're just tuning in right now, I just want you to know that God loves you, number one. And number two is, if you know somebody that you think that this would help them because you're an encourager and because you love, then, you know, just tell them about The Sue Freeze Show and tell them about the SueFreeze.com site. You can go on there and there's a lot of different things that you can get because I want to give you some things, and God wants you to have them. And so there are, in Helping Hands, you can click on Helping Hands, and there's a list of I Ams. It's who Christ says you are. Because we can listen to what this world says we are, or we can listen to what Christ says we are. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather listen to what He says, because He truly, truly loves me unconditionally. And there's so many, there's three or four pages in there. And if you read those every day and say it out loud, your spirit, your mind, your heart can receive them, because your body likes to hear your voice better than it likes to hear my voice or somebody else's voice. It likes to hear your voice. So I suggest it highly to read those every day, and it will be life-changing for you because it will transform you by the renewing of your mind. And you know, if you've been beat up, and I don't mean physically, but maybe even physically, but if you've been beat up with just life, this can give you the strength you need to get through another day and another day, a week, a month, a year, and not only just get through it, because we don't want to just be survivors. We don't want to just get through another day, do we? There's another book I'm reading right now, and it says, Make Today Count. And I love that. Make Today Count, because we only have so many days. And I don't know about you, but I want to get the most out of every minute. And anybody that knows me can attest that this is a true statement. Sue wants to get the most out of every minute. And, you know, I'm up at 3. People say, oh my gosh, I got an email. 3 o'clock, really? And yeah, this morning I was up at 3. And, you know, just doing my emails and getting things out of my head and, you know, onto that phone. But anyway, that's a side note. So I'm going to keep reading here. God is inviting you to live for His glory by fulfilling the purpose He made for you. It's really the only way to live. Everything else is just existing. Real life begins by committing yourself completely to Jesus Christ. If you are not sure you have done this, all you need to do is receive and believe. The Bible promises, yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Isn't that the good news? John 3:16, this is John 1:12, and then John 3:16. You know John 3:16, that scripture? It's on the bottom of In-N-Out cups. Check it out. If you don't know that already, check it out. It's pretty cool. And I don't know about you, but In-N-Out is my favorite hamburger, and no, I'm not getting anything for saying that. First, believe. Believe God loves you and made you for His purpose. Believe you're not an accident. Believe you were made to last forever. Believe God has chosen you to have a relationship with Jesus, who died on the cross for you. Believe that no matter what you've done, no matter what you've done, God wants to forgive you. Second, receive. Receive Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. Receive His forgiveness for your sins. Receive His Spirit, who will give you the power to fulfill your life purpose. The Bible says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. I don't know about you, but I don't want His wrath. Wherever you are, I invite you to bow your head and quietly whisper the prayer that will change your eternity. Jesus, and this is the prayer, and if you are driving, please don't close your eyes. You can pray with your eyes open, okay? Jesus, I believe in you and I receive you. If you sincerely meant that prayer, congratulations. That's all you have to say. Welcome to the family of God. You are now ready to discover and start living God's purpose for your life. I urge you to tell someone about it. You're going to need support. And Rick Warren, he always puts point to ponder. Point to ponder is, it's all for him. Verse to remember, for everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power, and everything is for his glory. Question to consider. Are you ready for the question? Where in my daily routine can I become more aware of God's glory? You know, we all do have a daily routine. And I mentioned this other book, and we're going to talk about routines and how our routines form our life. Because our routine is just a multitude of choices that we make every day. Those choices are what has created the path that we're on. Chapter 8, planned for God's pleasure. You were planned for God's pleasure. The moment you were born into the world, God was there as an unseen witness, smiling at your birth. Can you picture that? He's smiling at your birth. And if you're a new mother and just had a baby, he's smiling at the birth of your baby. He wanted you alive, and your arrival gave him great pleasure. God did not need to create you, but he chose to create you for his own enjoyment. You exist for his benefit, his glory, his purpose, and his delight. Bringing enjoyment to God, living for his pleasure, is the first purpose of your life. When you fully understand this truth, you will never again have a problem with feeling insignificant. How many of us feel insignificant? I'm going to stop there for a second. The Holy Spirit's saying, I need to stop here. So I'm listening. You know, the devil wants us to feel like we don't matter, that we're unworthy, that our life really doesn't amount to anything, that, you know, no matter what we do, it's not good enough. You know, I will tell you, a couple weeks ago, I got an email. He connected with me on the Sue Freeze site, and I asked people like you to connect with me on the Sue Freeze site, and he did. And he said, I really need to talk to you. And at that time, I said, okay. And I dialed the number, and I told him that I really couldn't spend time with him right now because I was in the middle of this police investigation and doing all these things, but try calling me later. And he did. He called me later. It was about 8 o'clock at night. And he talked to me over the phone. And if you're listening, I'm still thinking and praying for you. And he started to talk to me about all the things that had gone wrong in his life, that he just doesn't see the reason to continue on. He, you know, it's so easy that we can get caught up in this negativity thinking. You know, we can get so caught up in it. And if we've got health issues, which I had a shattered leg, and, you know, it took a lot for me to start walking again, and now I'm dancing. And I could have so easily just given up and said, you know, it is what it is, and poor me. Or I could say it's getting better every day. I chose that. I chose to say I'm getting better every day. And you, listener, could do that too. I don't know what your situation is, but God does. But you are significant. And if anyone is telling you you're not, then I would suggest you do what you can to hear those words less, whatever that means. Get yourself in a position where you don't need to hear those words from someone or multiple people. You don't need to be hearing that, because that is not what God says. And you can even say, I rebuke that. I don't receive that, because that's not what Jesus says. I'm passionate about this because I personally have experienced this. And it takes a lot of courage to step out of situations because you feel you need to, because it's unhealthy to be in an environment that's unhealthy, okay? And words, they say, oh, it's just words. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never harm me. Who came up with that? Who came up with that? Because words cut like a knife. It says in the Bible that our tongue is a two-edged sword. And we can use it to edify and build people up, which is what I'm all about, and it's what Jesus is all about. Or we can just be judgmental, and we can use words to cut like a knife and bring people down. If you are in a situation where you have people around you that are bringing you down, if there's truth to it, you know, face the truth. You know, look at the person in the mirror. If you need to make adjustments, if you need to make choices, if you need to do something to switch something around, then do it. But if somebody is just saying these things without any desire of helping, then that's not the position or the place that you should stay. You need to move yourself away from that, whatever that means, you know, even if it's in another room, or if you just need to take a break and take a walk around the block, whatever it is, you need to not let your ears hear those words and don't receive them into your spirit. Don't let them into your heart. Don't let them do that to you. You are significant. Understand that you are significant. Everything the Bible says is that He created you. Why would He take the time to give you two ears, two eyes? Why would He take the time to do these things if He didn't love you and care for you and if you weren't important? You know, when you're creating something, you take time, you focus on it. He focused on you and He gave you gifts and He gave you a purpose. You might not understand all of that, but it will become clear if you ask the Lord to make it clear. You know, ask for discernment, ask for clarity, and He'll give it to you. The Holy Spirit will give it to you. If you are that important to God and He considers you valuable enough to keep with Him for eternity, what greater significance could you have? You are a child of God, and you bring pleasure to God like nothing else He has ever created. The Bible says, because of His love, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, He would make us His children. This was His pleasure and purpose in Ephesians. One of the greatest gifts God has given you is the ability to enjoy pleasure. He wired you with five senses and emotions so you can experience it. He wants you to enjoy life, not just endure it. The reason you are able to enjoy pleasure is that God made you in His image. Bringing pleasure to God is called worship. The Bible says the Lord is pleased only with those who worship Him and trust His love. Anything you do that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship. Like a diamond, worship is multifaceted. It would take volumes to cover all there is to understand about worship, but we will look at the primary aspects of worship in this section. Anthropologists have noted that worship is a universal urge, hardwired by God into the very fiber of our being, an inbuilt need to connect with God. Worship is as natural as eating or breathing. If we fail to worship God, we always find a substitute, even if it ends up being ourselves. The reason God made us with this desire is that He desires worshipers. The Bible says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that Father seeks. John 4:23 in the NIV version. So we will be back with more of the Sue Free Show right after this brief break to talk more about worship. Is far more than music.
Hi, Sue Fries, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy Tyson stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, E. coli gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives, like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new E. coli heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. E. coli termite and pest control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call E. coli at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. E. coli. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, E. coli, for allowing us to do this show. And if you'd like to be a sponsor, please contact me at thesuefreeze.com site, and we'll talk about it, okay? So I ended with, worship is far more than music. For many people, worship is just a synonym for music. Every part of a church service is an act of worship. The praying, scripture reading, singing, confession, silence, being still, listening to a sermon, taking notes, giving an offering, baptism, communion, signing a commitment card, and even greeting other worshipers. Actually, worship predates music. Adam worshipped in the Garden of Eden, but music isn't mentioned until Genesis 4:21 with the birth of Jubal. If worship were just music, then all who are non-musical could never worship. Worship is far more than music. Worship is not for your benefit. We worship for God's benefit. When we worship, our goal is to bring pleasure to God, not ourselves. If you have ever said, "I didn't get anything out of the worship today," you worshiped for the wrong reason. Worship isn't for you, it's for God. In Isaiah 29, God complains about worship that is half-hearted and hypocritical. The people were offering God stale prayers, insincere praise, empty words, and man-made rituals, without even thinking about the meaning. God's heart is not touched by tradition and worship, but by passion and commitment. The Bible says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught." You know, and a lot of people are turned away by certain religions because, you know, there's a lot of ritual in church. And church and religion can be toxic. And what I see more than ever is when I hear these prayers that are memorized, I think that's from the head, not the heart. You know, when we pray from our heart, it's not the same every time. There might be some things that we say because, for instance, I bless my food to my body to keep me strong and healthy. I do that on purpose because I want to eat healthy food and I don't want to have any diseases in my food, and I want the Lord to protect me with my food. So I always pray over my food before I eat it. I mean, it's just something I do, and I feel better when I do it. Does my food taste better? I don't know. All I know is it feels better for me to do that, so I do it. And you know, there's so many times where I hear even people that are close to me that say, you know, "Oh my gosh, they worship so long. I'll come in late so I can, you know, miss some of the worship." And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? You know, the praising the Lord in the very beginning kind of sets yourself up for the rest of whatever is going to happen. You know, it's like you're setting your spirit and your heart, and, you know, it kind of gives you time to get all of those other stresses away from you so that you can receive everything the Lord is going to give you or empower you with, you know? If you have all that other distraction going on and you don't have time to just breathe and sing and raise your hands and look up and give grace and thankfulness to Him, you know, I mean, oh my gosh, I can't imagine. You know, that I just can't. And you know what he's saying here is worship is in every part of our life. I went by a church that was just being built, and I was looking at the signage because I always look at signage, and it said Everyday Church. And I thought, how perfect is that? And they used the E as a, like, the at sign, like, you know, emails, you know, at, and the E was an at. And I was thinking, that's very interesting how they did that. But it's Everyday Church. And isn't church supposed to be every day? It's not supposed to just be for Sunday. Just like worship is not supposed to be just before you hear a sermon. Worship is all the time. We should always be giving thanks. And thanks is worship. It's for His glory and His good. And it's amazing what happens to you when you get out of yourself. And worship is getting out of yourself, and you're worshiping God. And I get excited about it because I can, it just feels, even though it's not supposed to be for us, it sure feels good. It really does. Worship is not a part of your life. It is your life. Worship is not just for church services. We are told to worship Him continually in Psalm 105:4 and to praise Him from sunrise to sunset in Psalm 113:3. Praise should be the first activity when you open your eyes in the morning and the last activity when you close them at night. Every activity can be transformed into an act of worship when you do it for the praise, glory, and pleasure of God. The Bible says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. How is it possible to do everything to the glory of God? By doing everything as if you were doing it for Jesus and by carrying on a continual conversation with Him while you do it. The Bible says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Colossians 3:23. This is the secret to a lifestyle of worship, doing everything as if you were doing it for Jesus. Point to ponder, I was planned for God's pleasure. Verse to remember, the Lord takes pleasure in His people. Question to consider, are you ready? What common task could I start doing as if I were doing it directly for Jesus? I'm pausing so you can think for a second because I talk fast, they say. So what is it? What is the question? If you're doing everything for Him, at the very beginning of the show, I was talking about my personal situation right now and that based on how I think of things is going to determine my response, my reaction to whatever's coming at me, right? And so now, with this in mind, does it change how I handle my situation? Is there a turning? Is there a change in my heart? Or am I worshiping God and I'm still remembering that even in my the transgressions that are happening against me, I need to glorify God in all of this. So what does that look like? How does that feel? You know, does it change what I'm doing? You're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and welcome San Diegans for listening to the show in San Diego. It's so beautiful there. And up north. And you know, with the internet, it is amazing, but there are people in London and in Paris that are listening to me, and even Berlin now. So it's pretty exciting. And thank you for listening. I'm going to read out of my Jesus Calling book, as I so often do, because it always relates to what we're talking about. I want to be central in your entire being. Now, isn't this funny? This is a different book, and it's a book that you read every day. It's got a date, and you read, you know, one of these every day. And it's just so amazing how, when I'm on the show, how what I'm reading in this book goes along with what I'm talking to you about on the show. It's just amazing. But is it? No, it's God. When your focus is firmly on me, my peace displaces fears and worries. They will encircle you seeking entrance. So you must stay alert. Let trust and thankfulness stand guard, turning back fear before it can gain a foothold. There is no fear in my love, which shines on you continually. Sit quietly in my love light. Oh, I love that. While I bless you with radiant peace. Turn your whole being to trusting and loving me. And here's some scriptures. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. 1 John 4:18. If we think about, you know, that there's more than just this life and that, you know, everything we're doing is to worship and to glorify God. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In this world, you will have trouble. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm hanging on, I'm clinging to these two scriptures right now because they make sense to me right this minute. I could have read these a week ago and they wouldn't have had the same impact they have today, which is what I'm talking about renewing of your mind and scriptures that kind of jump off the page depending on where you are in life. And that's why just staying in the Word and reading scriptures, you know, you want to get them in there to where when you need to cling to them, they're easily accessible. You can just memorize them and they come to you. I referred to another book. I'm reading three books right now, and I couldn't read for 6 months because of the eye surgery that I had that really still isn't completely healed, nor will I think it ever will be. I don't know what I'm going to do there, but that's another story. So you learn to live with it, I guess. But So I'm able to at least read, so that's nice. And this book is John C. Maxwell. And it says, "Make today count. The secret of your success is determined by your daily agenda." I so believe this. I so believe this. When I see people with money issues, when I see people that have time issues, organization issues, when I see people that, you know, they can't be on time, I can look and see why that is. If somebody is struggling with their finances, if I worked with them for one day, if I was around them for one day, I could tell you where I would make maybe a connect. I would make a change, or that they could make a change, and they would see quite a difference. And I know that because I help my employees and I help people. I try to when I can. If I have the knowledge, then why not share it? And so I do. When I see an opportunity or I see something where I can help, then I do that. You know, some of us can see things like that and we're worried or scared on how to pursue or how to just get the conversation started. I have a friend right now that is just amazed at how I can ask very deep and pointed questions to a complete stranger. I mean, it's uncomfortable in the room, but I'm okay with it because I like to connect. And how do you connect? How do you learn about somebody if you don't ask questions? You know, you got to say, you know, the normal one that you ask is, you know, oh, what do you do for a living? And where are you from? You know, and what's your name? You know, those are the normal questions you ask. And those are important. They are, you know, because you can get somewhat of something out of that. You know, like when I say I'm the termite lady, you know, how much does somebody get out of that, really? You know, it's like, what? What do I do for a living? Kill bugs. Well, that's not really what I do. I protect your most expensive investment, your home, your family, your friends, you know, and we want to do it the most ecological way. So that sounds a lot better than just killing bugs, doesn't it? Anyway, so Make Today a Masterpiece is this book, Make Today Count. So I'm going to read from this book, and I think you're going to see what I'm saying here, and I so relate to everything he is saying. And this is just the introduction. We're not even getting into the meat of it. This is just the introduction. So it's a pretty good book. I bought it at an airport because I needed something to do on a 7-hour flight. So I thought, I need something. You know, I'm tired, but I'm not going to sleep that long. So anyway, here it goes. How would you describe your life? Are you achieving what you desire? Are you accomplishing the things that are important to you? Do you consider yourself a success? Everybody defines success differently, so you'd have to figure out what success looks like and how you would say success. What is it? Define it for yourself. And then once you do that, you know, do you consider yourself there, or are you on the road, or where are you on that? How do your prospects look for the future? If I could come to your house and spend just one day with you, I would be able to tell whether or not you will be successful. You could pick the day. If I got up with you in the morning and went through the day with you, watching you for 24 hours, I could tell you in what direction your life is headed. Isn't that interesting? When I tell this to people at conferences, there's always a strong reaction. Some people are surprised. Some get defensive because they think I would be making a snap judgment about them. A few get ticked off because they think my claim sounds arrogant. Others are simply intrigued and desire to know why I make such a statement. The answer lies in the fact that the secret of your success is determined by your daily agenda. If you make a few decisions and then manage them well in your daily agenda, you will succeed. You will never change your life until you change something you do daily. You see, success doesn't just suddenly occur one day in someone's life, unless you hit the lottery. But you could lose it if you didn't have it to begin with, so that's another thing. You see, success doesn't just suddenly occur one day in someone's life. For that matter, neither does failure. Each is a process. Every day of your life is merely preparation for the next. What you become is the result of what you do today. In other words, you are preparing for something. The way you live your life today is preparing you for your tomorrow. The question is, what are you preparing for? Are you grooming yourself for success or failure? As my father used to tell me when I was growing up, you can pay now and play later, or you can play now and pay later. But either way, you are going to pay. The idea was that you can play and take it easy and do what you want today. And some people do that. I remember in high school, the surfers wouldn't even come to school because surf was up. So they'd go surf instead of going to school. Well, some of them didn't even graduate because they wanted to play now. The idea was that you can play and take it easy and do what you want today, but if you do, your life will be harder later. However, if you work hard now on the front end, then you will reap rewards in the future. The makings of a masterpiece. You can make every day of your life a masterpiece. Isn't that idea appealing? The question is how? What does it take? I believe there are two ingredients necessary to make every day a masterpiece. Are you ready? Decisions and discipline. They are like two sides of the same coin. You could call them goal setting and goal getting, and they can't be separated because one is worthless without the other. Time is an equal opportunity employer, but how we treat time is not equal. Time is like a block of marble. Give a block of marble to an average person, you end up with what? A block of marble. But put it in the hands of a master sculptor and watch what happens. The sculptor looks at it with an artist's eye. First, he makes decisions about what it will be. Then, he practices the disciplines of his craft until he has transformed lifeless stone into a masterpiece. I believe you and I can become like the sculptor. We can learn to become master craftsmen, not of stone, but of our lives. It's kind of fun to think like this, isn't it? Good decisions today will give you a better tomorrow. That is so true. It seems obvious that good decisions help to create a better tomorrow, yet many people don't appear to connect their lack of success to their poor decision-making. Some people make choices, then experience negative consequences, yet wonder why they can't seem to get ahead in life. They never figure it out. Others know their choices may not be good for them, but they make them anyway. Such is the case with the alcoholic who keeps drinking excessively or the person who engages in one abusive relationship after another. Nobody says that good decisions are always simple, but they are necessary for success. Theodore Herzberg, former president of Notre Dame University, admonished, "You don't make decisions because they're easy. You don't make decisions because they're cheap. You don't make decisions because they're popular. You make decisions because they're right." You begin to build a better life by determining to make good decisions, but that alone is not enough. You need to know what decisions to make. I've given this subject a lot of thought, talked to many successful people, and narrowed down the list of critical areas for success to 12. I call them the Daily Dozen. If you're tuning in, you're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we are talking about our attitudes. We're talking about make today count. So what are they? What are the Daily Dozens? Attitude. Choose and display the right attitude daily. Priorities. Determine and act on important priorities daily. Health. Know and follow healthy guidelines daily. Family. Communicate with and care for my family daily. Thinking. Practice and develop good thinking daily. 6. Commitment. Make and keep proper commitments daily. Finances. Make and properly manage dollars daily. Faith. Deepen and live out my faith daily. Relationships. Initiate and invest in solid relationships daily. Generosity. Plan for and model generosity daily. Values. Generosity. Plan for and model generosity daily. Values. Embrace and practice good values daily. Growth. Seek and experience improvements daily. If you settle these 12 issues by making the right decision in each area and then work to manage those decisions daily, you can be successful. So there's 12 here. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to print these out, and I'm going to put them on Helping Hands on my website, SueFree, spelled like fries, one word, .com. So, you know, don't worry if you didn't have a chance to write them down and you don't want to hit the replay button 12 times. Then what you can do is just go to SueFree.com, and I'm going to have these on the site with this show so you can get it through Helping Hands. Okay, I think that'll be helpful. And or you can just get the book, Make Today Count by John C. Maxwell. This is only the very beginning. We haven't got into the chapters. So remember when I was mentioning about the gentleman who called me, and it was late at night, and He was so negative, and he was ready, I think, to just end it all because he really didn't feel like he had any reason to continue. I said, do you have a computer? And he goes, yeah, but it has a virus, so I can't use it. So he couldn't go on the website to get anything from there from me. And then I said, well, do you have a car? And he goes, well, no, I really can't drive because I had an injury and because I'm taking all this medication, these pills, because I have this and I have that. He had a name for everything. He's been diagnosed with this and that and whatever. And his voice, you could just tell he was just, you know, he didn't have friends. He didn't have family. It's just like, why go on? And, you know, by listening to this, and he goes, I go to church and nobody wants to talk to me. And, you know, I just feel kind of disillusioned in every area of my life. And because I don't really have much going on, I just have more time to think about all the things that I, you know, can't do. And, you know, I said to him, I said, what can you do? I just was kind of abrupt. I'm kind of that way. I'm straightforward and right there. I said, you know, what can you do? I said, do you have eyes? I mean, can you see? And he goes, yeah. I said, can you write? And he said, yeah. And I said, do you have paper in your place where you're at right now? Can you get a piece of paper? And he goes, well, yeah. I said, can you walk? And he goes, well, yeah, but I got an injury on my foot, so I can only walk a little while. Can you walk? I said, you know, I could not walk. I had to be in a wheelchair. I could not walk. You can walk. Isn't that wonderful that you can walk? There's people a lot worse off than you right now. Does that make your problems go away? No. But we need to find what we can be thankful for. We need to look for what we can do. Gosh, Sue, that's pretty harsh. Well, okay, we could just say, oh, you know, you're right, Guy, I'm so sorry for you, and then hang up, and then he's left there. You know, you're left there. And I don't want to leave you there, and neither does God. He doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to be there with you. So he's saying, look up, reach up, I'm here. I'm knocking at the door, but you know, he's there for you. So what I said to this gentleman is I said, Get a piece of paper and a pen, and they want you to write down, I can, at the very top of the paper. Not I can't, because you know those really well. But I think that you haven't spent much time thinking about what you can do. Listener, if that's you, think about what you can do. We all have things we can't do. I can't do a lot of things I used to be able to do, and that could really bring me down if I let it. But I'm not letting it, because I'm so thankful that I'm walking. I'm so thankful that I can wear heels, that I can be a girl and wear heels. I know it sounds silly. I'm thankful that I can get up and get a cup of coffee. I'm thankful that I can take my own shower. I don't have to have somebody take me. And I know there's people listening that probably need help. And I'm so sorry for that. But there are things you can do too. So when I got off the phone, he told me that he was going to write down what he can do. And I told him to check back with me, and I wanted to find out where his life's going to go, because we're going to be connected. But I want to focus on what we can do, not what we can't do, okay? Things happen for a reason. We don't understand the reasons. I don't understand the reasons. God has a plan. Let's glorify him. Until next week, be a blessing to someone each and every day and worship the Lord in all things. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Sue Freeze Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Sue Freeze from Ecola Termite and Pest Control. People know me as the Termite Lady. I'm giving away a free pest control service to a pastor here in the Southland. Maybe your pastor. Just log on to termitelady.com and enter your pastor to win. There's no gimmick, nothing to buy. It's just my way of giving back to a pastor who gives so much to so many. So log on to termitelady.com and submit your pastor's name. We'll announce the winner July 17th. A free pest control service for a pastor here in the Southland. A nice gift from you, and my honor to provide it. Because our pest control uses family-friendly, pet-friendly methods to keep the bugs out. Log on to termitelady.com, and for your own pest control, call us at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. E.coli, powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. Call 877-332-BUGS.
Terms and conditions posted at termitelady.com.